Our epistle reading today is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 through 15. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightfully explaining the word of truth. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The gospel lesson. This is the word of God. This is God speaking to us, directing us, guiding us, helping us, instilling in us that set of stories that are moralities. If you would stand and join me, if you are able. This is Luke 17, beginning with verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of the Lord. In our call to worship, you might have you read responsively, "Blessed is everyone who fears God and walks in God's ways." And we've had discussions over my career. I've had people at least once a year come forward and say, "Why should we fear God? Isn't that, you know, God is a loving God. Well, And some of it is generational. If we were talking to our ancestors 4,000 years ago that didn't know that murder is not all right, that didn't know that any use of force just was the best thing you could do, that had no sets of morality, you needed some very harsh language to get their attention. And so fear of God is the beginning of that step, but for today we might want to use the term reverence. Reverence, but reverence and fear of God also means that we acknowledge that God is God. God of life. We are alive because of God. And in death, God is with us in life again through Jesus Christ. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-everything. And sometimes we want to just put God in a container to kind of keep him from getting out of control. That has nothing to do with the sermon. Here we go. Luke, what did you think of that Lucan parable? It's a confusing parable. It's kind of a struggle because scholars look at it and they scratch their heads, and then there's a lot going on, and the lepers, and they come, and then there's 10, and then there's 1, and what's the point of the parable? What is this story teaching us? A lot of scholars think it's actually 2. And whether it is or not, we don't know, but there are 2 lessons in here. So let's take it apart into 2 pieces. The first is the 10 lepers. Now, how many of you know somebody with leprosy? In that day and age, you would have. And it is not pretty. It is scary. Leprosy in the Bible generally refers to any skin ailment. Anybody ever had a rash or any kind of a skin ailment? Come on, you put your hand out. We've all been there, haven't we? Am I the only one that, you know, poison ivy or dog allergies or whatever? All of those might have been referred to as leprosy in that day and age. But all of them meant you were a sinner. You see, and the theology was that if something bad happened to you, it was because God was punishing you for being bad. So if you broke your leg, God was punishing you. If you had a rash, God was punishing you. All of these are the works righteous, that theology that said God caused that. We've kind of unpacked that today, and it isn't as bad. But if you were a leper, you were a sinner. Persona non grata, an unclean. Don't go near. From afar, the lepers called to Jesus. They knew they weren't allowed to get close. They won't even get close. Have you seen somebody with the flu and comes in sneezing and snorting? You want to back away from them? Double that. And that's how it was with the lepers. You're not allowed to come near. So from afar they approach him, and it's from this distance. And they do several things. First off, they acknowledge him as master. Maybe that's fear of the Lord. Maybe it did tie into the sermon after all. I made it work there. You see, the fear of God is acknowledging God's godliness, his greatness. He is master. If we were truly to live that, it would change our lives. We need to work in that direction. Here is the master. And they turn to him. Jesus, master, have mercy on us. Jesus doesn't hesitate to approach them. Jesus doesn't hesitate to be amongst them and break those barriers. You see, not only were they unclean because they had leprosy, but they were unclean because they were sinners, and you weren't allowed to be around them. And Jesus said, no, laws that divide us are not the laws of God that I bring, that I'm about. Love one another. Be amongst one another. Care for one another. Don't judge one another. So the lepers acknowledge Jesus. Master, have mercy on us. They don't seek out a doctor. They don't seek out the local druggist. They don't check online with medical RMD, the online medical service. They go to the one that they know can truly cure them and heal them, and they trust and acknowledge him. Jesus sees them. That's what it says. Jesus sees them. We need to be seen. That's the important part. And maybe that ought to be a whole sermon or a series of sermons by itself. To be seen, to be acknowledged, to be worthy of God's paying attention to us. And he tells them, go and show yourself to the priests. Now, is this a case of going to the doctor and the doctor says, yeah, here, I'm going to send you to a specialist. You say, oh, thank you. I waited in your waiting room for 45 minutes. Get in here for 5 minutes. Now you're going to make me go to another specialist, wait another 45 minutes, see another doctor, and pay two bills. Is this what Jesus is doing, passing them on down the food chain, sending them off to the priests? No, because something interesting happens there. Something happens. He says to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they are healed. Not when they got to the priests. Not after the priests met with them. As they're on the way, as soon as they have encountered Jesus closely, they're healed. They were made clean. So why did Jesus make them go to the priests anyway? It's another waste of time, isn't it? How many of you have ever had doctor's appointments? Isn't it a pain in the neck? Why would Jesus say, now go, yeah, you got to go to the priest too? They're unclean. Did you remember that piece? Jesus had made them clean, but the priests now need to acknowledge that, see them as clean, and welcome them back into the community. They were people who couldn't associate. You couldn't go to lunch with them. You couldn't hang out in the Starbucks with them. You couldn't, you know, they were outcasts. And going to the priests is the second part of healing them. He heals them a body, but now, go to the priests, they will see you are clean and you are healed of spirit and community. you can now be with other people and be accepted and returned to the family. When the lepers came to Jesus, were they unclean to him? Is anybody unclean to Jesus? What about Judas? That's a sermon for another day. So now we take the second half of the parable because it doesn't end there. The 10 have gone. They've gone to Jesus. Jesus has healed them before they even get to the priest. But they go to the priest. Now they're made clean by the priest. They are physically made well. They are returned to community. But something else happens. This one returns. This one leper comes back. And he's a Samaritan. Got to make sure we understand what that word means to the people in that day and age. Samaritans were the worst possible ones. It used to be when I was growing up, it was the Russians, the communists. Anybody called you a communist, it was fighting words, boy. Not so much anymore, although we're kind of going where we were, and I have bad feelings about things working. But I'm not going to single out anybody who's the acclaimed enemy of all of the United States right now. But think of those persons that just would be the hardest for you to be around, that you'd be the angriest at, the least likely to interact with. That's the Samaritans. And it's this Samaritan is the one that returns. Hated, despised, loathed, untrusted. All those words that fit for a Samaritan. This is the person that comes back and comes and falls at Jesus' feet. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And Jesus asks, where are the others? How is it that you, a foreigner, an outsider, have come and given thanks? But go on your way because your faith has made you well. Your faith has healed you. Your belief and understanding have been part that have brought you back into right relationship. Jesus does not change him from being a Samaritan. Timothy, you heard Timothy. Bill did a good job reading that. Thank you, Bill. And there was a set of sayings in there in the middle of it. There's all this text that Paul writes to Timothy. But there's a piece in here, you've heard the saying, if you've died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Isn't that a lovely piece? Scholars, I always dig in there and say, what psalm is that? Where did that come from? But it isn't. It isn't a psalm. It doesn't appear to be a hymn. It may have been a common set of sayings back in that day that everybody knew. Do we have common sayings that we have today? If you break it, you bought it. That comes to mind whenever we go into a glass or china shop for me. What's another one? You get what you pay for. What are some of those other sayings? Common things that we all know. You know what I'm talking about. So it was sayings that they were familiar with and that they had heard. And that last one is the most pivotal. If you heard them, if we've died with him, we will live with him. If we endure with him, we'll reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful. He remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. It's yes, 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 no. He will never become the faithless one. This is the crux of who Jesus Christ is. Think about what that means to us, that he is always faithful to us. Faithful to us and to everyone. Samaritans, men and women, Jews and Gentiles, slave and free. He is faithful to all, and to all those children, he is eternally faithful. I'd like to say that I'm always faithful to God, but I would lie doing that. I have feet of clay and I slip. Your pastor is a sinner, and I'm going to admit it. Those of you who are sin-free, stand up, come up, and you can whap me over the head. We all on the same page now? The faithful. full one, the one that never slips, is the Christ. We're working toward that. We're gaining on that. Ron Hodges used to greet me, "Peter, how are you?" I said, "I'm fine." "No," he said, "you're moving on to perfection." I'd say, "Ron, you've got a big ideal of me. I think I appreciate." No, he says, "We're all moving on to perfection, aren't we?" He's big on that phrase. Kind of felt a little overwhelming the first time he said it to me. Well, I'm working on trying to get up the next morning and be a little better than I was today, but moving on to perfection, doesn't that seem a little bit presumptuous? I don't know. But we got to be moving on to perfection. That's who we are called to be as disciples. Are you moving on to perfection? Yes is the appropriate answer there. Bill read it and he said he's writing to the elect. He's imprisoned and he's suffering for the elect. Are we the elect? Are we the ones that Paul was writing to and reflecting to? Yes. Kind of feels nice to be the elect, doesn't it? We take that seriously. We want to do that. We want to be those in charge. We want to be the elect. We want to be the ones that kind of help, because you know that there are those other people out there that need a lot of help. My worst is when we're driving. There's so many people that are doing it wrong. Diana, did you just raise your hand? Back there, she's raising her hand. Not that she's doing it wrong, but maybe she's in the same boat. The other day, I was heading home for lunch. I don't know where my brain was. Almost drove right through a stop sign and ran into this SUV with this couple in it. Almost. They saved me. They saw me before I saw them, and it's my error. They're looking at me like, "What are you doing?" The same way that I look at them when they're doing strange and unusual things. And I thought, here I am, Lord. Just as bad as the ones that I shake my finger at. Presumptuous. Presumptuous because as the elect, we want to say, well, we're in the hierarchy. We're special. We're above everybody else. He uses that other phrase about the enlisted army and the soldiers. And, you know, we'd all be in that rank somewhere. Did you see the cover there? Somebody that was in the military. Tell me what those ranks are. What are those? What do these represent? What different? Captain, Major, Colonel, General. Okay. How many of us are generals? How many majors, colonels, captains, lieutenants, corporals, sergeants? How many privates? We are the elect, but we are the privates. Think about that a minute. Think about that and let's bring ourselves back to the reality of who we are and whose we are. There is a commanding officer. I don't know if I want to call Jesus Christ a commanding general. That kind of doesn't fit quite as well, but he's the boss. He's the one that directs us. He's the only one with that authority. And somehow we get tangled up. No one serving in the army gets entangled in everyday's affairs. The soldier's aim is to please the enlisting officer. We forget that part, because we're more than ready to take on the responsibility and start meting out even punishment. We're ready to go there. That elect seems to want to lift us up, and Christ reminds us that we're feet on the ground, pay attention, yes sir, no sir. We need to be about that. We need to remember our faithfulness. And our faithfulness means obedience and not trying to boss everybody else. It means letting the enlisted officer, the Jesus Christ, direct us. Our faithfulness is in question when we are making decisions way above our pay grade. Decisions, judgments, calculations. Our faithfulness is in question when we decide who are lepers and who aren't, and whether or not they're approachable, and whether or not they're healable, and who's redeemable. Our faithfulness is in question when we judge each other's actions and service. The good news is in our faithlessness, when we fail in our faithfulness, His faithfulness continues. He will continue with us. Let's be like those lepers. We acknowledge and believe in a Christ that can heal, that can direct us, that we can trust, and let Him say the words that heal us, and let us give thanks. Amen. Don, do you have anything?